As the word was prophesied earlier, that it's time to close the back door. The devil always tries to come in the back door, amen? You know, once we start church here on Sundays, then the ushers go down and they lock the back door. Why? Because all of our kids are down there, so it's a protection. But I think sometimes in our minds we dabble, we get outside of what God's called us to do, we think on the wrong things, and we leave that back door open sometimes. Whether it's something that somebody does to us, something that's perpetrated upon us, or maybe they didn't even do anything. Maybe it's just suspicion. Anybody here ever have a problem with suspicion? Raise the rest of your hands. Otherwise, you're just, yeah. We've got to be very careful that as we walk through our lives, that suspicion doesn't rob us of our freedom. Amen? It doesn't rob us of our peace. It doesn't rob us of our joy. It doesn't rob us of all that the blood of Christ has done in our lives. Tell your neighbor, say, nobody's against you. Nobody's for some people, that's the first time they ever thought about that. It's me against the world, man. No, it's not. It's you walking with Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It's you walking with Jesus Christ. And when you walk with him, everything changes. You know, as we just got done singing. So I want to encourage you, whatever the back door is, maybe you're dabbling in stuff you shouldn't dabble in. Maybe you're speaking and talking, murmuring, complaining, or gossiping. Maybe your finances are going someplace they shouldn't go. Maybe your time is being wasted. I don't know what it is, but there's a back door that each one of us need to close. There's an area that God wants to shut off because he's got more for each and every one of us. But we're going to have to make a decision that I want him more than I want that back door open. That way that I was living outside the word of God, or even something that just was just tugging at you. It doesn't have to be something. The devil usually tries to find something that's really close to the line to tempt you with, right? He's never going to tempt me with heroin. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't know what it looked like, number one. Number two, it would never be a temptation for me. But he'll use something that's from your past, and he'll try to bring it in and try to sneak it in the back door again. He'll try to bring it in where you're down, you're hurt, and something didn't go right, and then he'll say, hey, remember that familiar spirit that used to come around. So I just want to encourage you, especially during the summertime, when a lot of people back down. They back away. It's time to relax. It's time to go to the pool or go to the lake or run underneath a sprinkler, whatever you do. But sometimes people open up that back door, and we found that when that guard comes down, a lot of times that the enemy tries to sneak in there. When he sneaks in, he just causes a little disruption, and we don't want that this summer. Amen? We want multiplication into the kingdom of God, and therefore we got to shut that back door. All right? So tell your neighbor, say, shut the back door.
Shut the back door.
All right. I don't know what that is for you. You know what it is. Oh, you know what it is. Because when I name some of those things, you look down. Or you looked away, or you looked up. I want to encourage you. God's got a plan, and there's something beautiful, and there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He just doesn't want you messing around, leaving that back door swinging again. All right? So, you know, I heard that the Dallas Cowboys started practice again, and when they walked out onto the field, they saw this white substance, and they quickly backed away. They didn't know what it was, so they called the DEA, and they came in to check it all out, and the DEA said, that's the goal line. There's nothing wrong there, but they hadn't seen it in so long, they didn't know what it was. And the DEA said, don't worry, they won't be harmed by it because they probably won't see it the rest of the season either. So I just thought I'd throw that out there this morning, all right? I changed the name, of course, but if you have your Bibles, let's open up to John chapter 17, shall we? And get into the Word of God. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 7, we're going to start there and go to verse 12. And we'll be reading out of NSB. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works they will do because I go to the Father. And so this morning, just talking about unity in the storm. Because I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and even though Jesus did exactly what the Father said to do, everything he did, they still had questions and doubts. And so this morning, maybe you have a question or a doubt. We want to help solve that problem. Amen? The devil loves to dabble around in doubts, and he loves to bring doubts into every one of your hearts. Every time you go to step out in God, yeah, but what if that doesn't work? Yeah, I'm not going to pray for them. I'm afraid. I'm not sure. What if they reject me? All of these doubts try to come in. And that's what happened with Philip. Philip has some doubts. And we need to let go of our doubts. Amen? Doubt your doubts. They're unreliable. There's a lot of things that you have doubted and worried about in your life, and 99.9% of them never came to pass. And you wasted a lot of time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. You said if we had known you, Father, we know you this morning. Father, we've read from cover to cover how in the beginning and what happens in the end and everything in between, Father, and every time we read it, our hearts grow, our understanding grows, our lives are changed, our ministries grow. Every time we read your word, we see the effects of walking out the word of God in any man or woman's life. Father, we thank you for the power of God being manifested through your word in each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when it comes to unity, just because we're together doesn't mean we're walking in unity. Do we agree? Because let me tell you something. You can take two cats, tie their tails together. They'll be together, but there won't be any unity. I can guarantee you that. Guarantee you they will claw each other to pieces. So just because we're here in the same church as one body doesn't mean we're walking in unity. Because I guarantee you there's some different thoughts about what's going on in America right now. Amen? There's all different thoughts, all different places. There's different thoughts about what's right. Let's settle that once and for all. Jesus Christ is right. Everybody else is wrong. And unless we submit and surrender to him, we're wasting our time. Can we agree that there's no government on the planet that's ever going to fix the problem in a man's heart? Amen. It's only through the word of God. And that means you. Tell your neighbor, say, that means you. The only way your neighborhood changes is through you and the power of God in you. The only way your household changes is through you and the power of God in you. My household changed. My household changed. It's different compared to the one that I grew up in, only because of Christ. Praying, Mama, standing on the Word of God. Can I tell you, it's time for the mothers to stop carrying all the families. It's amazing how quiet it gets in here. It's time for men to agree with the word of God and to stand on the promises of God. Because a lot of families have been stabilized by praying mamas. But it's time for praying daddies. It means every man in here. You know, if you want to, we get together at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 9 o'clock now, sorry, used to be 8. 9 o'clock in the morning for prayer from 9 to 10. You want to come? Come on. We're going to be in prayer. You know what we're praying for? Your families. For you. For your neighborhood. for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Because unless we're changed, we can't change everything else outside. Because unless healing comes to the house of God, how are we going to heal what's going on in the world? If you had known me, 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 if I'd have known him at a younger age, prayerfully I'd have been in a different position by the time I was 19. But I didn't know him. He said, if you would have known me, you would know my Father also. I don't know about you, but every time I read the Word of God and I start to understand the Father a little bit more, I get a little bit stronger. And my mind starts to change and say, wait a minute, if that's the way that he loves, I got to change the way that I love my bride. I got to change the way that I love my children. I got to change the way that I love my neighbor. Tell your neighbor, say, you're my neighbor. Tell your other neighbor, say, all right, you too. You can't say it to the same person, Sean. He says it to his wife, then he looks at his wife again. You can't do that. I said your other neighbor. It's very difficult. You know it? It's very difficult. You got to look both ways, okay? When I say look the other way, that means the other way. Holy smokehouse. Thanks, Kenny. Thanks for hooking Sean up over there. If you'd have known me, you would have known the Father. You would have known him. And therefore, every time that we speak, when we start to know the Father, I don't think Jesus ever minced any words. He didn't waste words. We've wasted a lot of words. Amen? Man has wasted a lot of words. The church has wasted a lot of words. And I believe that God wants us to stop wasting our words. And there's a storm that we're in the middle of. Can we all agree? Sure. Has there been storms before in America? Yeah, there has. Has there been storms in every civilization under the sun? Has it been the same storm a lot of the times? It always has to deal with two people, whether it's a husband and a wife, a child and a father, black and white. It doesn't matter where it is. Romans and the rest of the world, because they wanted to rule it all. It didn't matter. It was always one person and another. But God said, if you'd have known me, if you'd have known me, it'd been a little bit different. Philip had walked with Jesus for a while, and yet he didn't know him. I wonder, I'll look at the television for a moment at the camera, how many in here have been walking with him for a while and don't know him? You see, because when you get to know him, you fall in love with him. When you get to know him, he changes everything. When you get to know him, you don't want to be who you were. When you get to know him, that love starts to overwhelm us to such a degree that everything we have, we want nothing to do with. We look at it and it makes us nauseous. The way that we used to speak, it bothers us. Why? Because he speaks such beautiful words over us. Oh, he says, listen, wherever you go, I'll be there. He said, even if you decide that you want nothing to do with me, my love will still be ready for you. I'll never stop loving you, even if you decide to spend eternity away from me. My love will never change. He said, if you would know me. He didn't understand him. Philip didn't. He hadn't come to understand his ways. And I believe that in the church today, we need to understand his ways. I know your ways. You know my ways. Can I tell you? Each one of us, our ways have to change. There's areas in our lives that we're going to have to surrender. When thoughts come in, if they're not of God, then you're going to have to get rid of them. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle because your thoughts, you like your thoughts. Most everybody else doesn't, but you do. Some of your thoughts should stay in your head. I'm just throwing that out there. All of them don't have to come out at once. Some of them thoughts, you just look at them inside your head and think about it for a while. And then you swallow real hard. And don't share it. Because if you'd have known him And if we're standing with him and he's living on the inside of us, then if it's going to bring destruction, why are we going to share it? If it's going to bring division, why are we going to share it? If it's going to destroy people's lives, why are we going to share it? Because he said his words bring life. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a life giver. You're to bring life and life more abundantly. See, but because if we knew him, Philip saw the miracles. Philip heard Jesus speak with a power and authority and eloquence that no man had ever spoken before. And they said, show us the Father. I need a little bit more. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you. I need just a little bit more. I really can't go by just the word of God. I know the words are in red, but I need just a little bit more. Can you show me something more? I can show you my life. It's changed. He washed away my sins. Never drank again. Been faithful to my wife for 32 years. Raising 5 children. Not doing it all right. Loving him. And loving our neighbors are doing the best that we can, that we know so far. But the more I know him, the easier it is to love you. And I tell you, some of you, it's real easy. All right, most of you. Bob, it's very easy with you, all right? Bob's over there. You're easy, Bob. You're easy, all right? But the more that I get to know him, the easier it is to love every one of them. It's even easier to love the enemy or perceived enemy, right? How many people have a perceived enemy? The only enemy any of us have is the enemy. His name is Lucifer. All right, that's it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not my enemy. Tell your other neighbor, Sean. All right, you're not my enemy, all right. That's what the devil wants, is he wants us pitted one against another. It's not happening, amen? Not here. We're not playing that game here. Are there injustices that have been done? Absolutely. Our history is proof of that. But the world isn't going to fix it. The government isn't going to fix it. No amount of money is going to fix it. Because every issue of life flows out of the heart. The only one that can change the heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're going to know something about how to change the world, we're going to have to know him above everything else. So everything else you're going to have to throw in the garbage. You're going to say him and him alone changes me, because the only way we get set free is when he changes us from the inside out. Freedom doesn't come from a signed piece of paper. The Declaration of Independence set us free from England. But can I tell you, there's a lot of people in bondage in America because and they don't know Jesus Christ. A lot of people live here and still live in bondage their whole lives. Doesn't matter how young or how old, where they come from, irrelevant. If they do not know Jesus Christ, bondage is their lives. It's that simple. Do we need to change some things in America? Yeah, we do. We sure do. We need to change a lot of things. We need to get prayer back in school, too. Amen. He wants that next generation. He wants them. There's a lot of things that need to be changed in America. The things that have been done wrong. We need to own it, take responsibility for it, repent of it, and then change. But the only way we're going to change is to know him. It doesn't matter who's president, because he's not going to change the hearts of men or women. It doesn't matter who the senators are, the congressmen are. We might have greater freedoms in America to be able to preach the gospel, but they can't change hearts. Only Jesus Christ can. Philip saw everything that Jesus was doing, and he still said, show us more. Can I tell you, we've been preaching the word of God for 21 years and people still say, show us more. I don't know if I can commit completely to Jesus Christ and if he's really that good that he can heal the hurt and the wound in my heart. I want you to know he can heal every heart. He can heal every wound. I don't know how deep it is. But I remember the testimony of Joyce Myers and the lifestyle that she had and what she went through as a little girl. And if God can heal that, He can heal you. The molestations and the rapes and the beatings and all of these horrible, horrible things that are happening to these young babies getting sold into the sex slave trade right now every day. And yet ones that are rescued, their lives are changed through the power of the love of Jesus Christ. How deep the wound is not the issue. How big your God is the issue. And I believe He's big enough to heal our hearts and therefore heal our land. And as it was prophesied earlier, if we'll humble ourselves and if we'll turn away, from the way that we were doing things, which is an attitude that we have. You have an attitude when you look at certain people. Because if you have an attitude, if your attitude changes when you look at certain people, because if every one of us are created by God, amen? Therefore, we walk together in unity. And for those that don't know Jesus Christ, our job is to preach the gospel to all of them. Every single one, race, creed, color, doesn't matter. And just to clarify things, there's only one race on the planet, right? The Adamic race. We all came from Adam. There's one race. There's a whole bunch of nationalities, a whole bunch of countries, but there's only one race. And you belong to it because you're a human being. Every human being is all traced back to Adam, created by God. And that's it. So that's got to stop in the church before we can help it out in the world. We've got to transform in the church before we can transform the world. Because if we're not walking in unity in the midst of the storm, then we're not going to walk in victory through the storm. It's an impossibility. All the physical demonstrations of God on Mount Sinai didn't prevent the manufacture of the worship of the golden calf. All that Jesus did, Philip says, I still don't get it. Show us the Father. I need a little bit more. He didn't know who the Word was. He didn't know that Jesus Christ was the living Word of God. And that everything that Jesus said and did was a representation of who Christ was on the earth. And Jesus is the one that broke down every wall of division and schism that there were. You know, they'd all seen the miracles, they enjoyed the benefits, and yet it seemed that that what He had done, all the things that had been done, the disciples or the apostles were still mistaken. Can I ask you, are you mistaken this morning? Are you mistaken this morning that something else outside of Jesus Christ can change you? Something else given, something else made available, something else, a different lifestyle lived. Do you think for a moment that that can change the hurt on the inside? See, the disciples were mistaken. Philip said, yeah, I've seen all of this, but I need more. Isn't it amazing? We would say, what are you, crazy? You walked with Jesus. You saw it, and yet you still wanted more. I want to encourage you. The Word of God is enough. He said, but the Father abiding in me does His work. The Father abiding in me does His work. Tell your neighbor, say His work. Right. The unity with the Father, it works in every situation and every need. Man will never supply anything, but God supplies it all. The Father abiding in me does His work. There's only one job we're supposed to be doing. We can tell who the Father abides in by the work that's being done. Does that make sense? Right? We can see how we act decides who we know. Because when we get to know Him and His love overpowers us and we bow our knee and our sins are forgiven. Now, the more that we know Him, His works are performed through us. Therefore, no matter who I see, the love of God is enough to give the strength to share the gospel no matter how we're treated. when we know him, we believe his word, we walk in him and abide in him, then there are works to be done through him. And Jesus said, from now on, you know him and have seen me. If you know Jesus Christ as the Lord, as your Lord and Savior, you've read the Word of God, especially, obviously, the New Testament and the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Gospels, then you know how the Father is. You know how he thinks. You know how he acts. You know the authority that he has. Every blind eye was opened. Every deaf ear was healed. That's the power of the church. But how many people say, yeah, but I need a little bit more? How many say, I need a little bit more teaching? I need a little bit more prayer? I need a little bit more. I can't walk. I don't think so. Not me. I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. I need more of him. I want you to know, you just need him. Because when you get him, you get all of him. He's not a God that holds back from you and says, I'm going to give to one and not to the other. He said, I'm going to work the works that I do through anyone who believes. So it comes back down to, what do you believe? Do you believe that he's a deliverer? Do you believe that he's a healer? Do you believe that he's one that provides all of the needs for no matter how many people come in? We look at the food pantry, now we're just trying to get rid of food. We've got so much. You know why we've got so much? Because we've given so much. If you don't have much, I want to see your giving statement. And I don't mean to the church. I'm talking about your life of giving. You don't get very many kind words. I want to hear the words you're giving. You see, because what you give, what you sow, you're going to reap. Can I tell you? We need to find some more places to give food away. We started giving more in the middle of the pandemic or in the beginning of it. Another orphanage and another ministry. And God has blessed us in the midst of it. And it's increased in the midst where it should have been decreasing. See, this is God's principle. Whatever's going on in your life, do you need more of him or is he enough? Because if he's enough, then we can change the whole world. And I believe that he wants to use you. Tell your neighbor, say, yeah, he meant you. Everything that the Father is was visualized through Jesus Christ. And God works in strange ways, doesn't he? I mean, through the cross and an empty tomb, we find our salvation. That's a strange way of setting people free. Through a cross, a brutal cross, and then an empty grave. Through shipwrecks and snakes, right? Listen, Paul had a job to do, didn't he? In Acts chapter 27, 26, 27, and 28. Paul had a job to do. He knew he was supposed to go to Rome and preach in the epicenter of everything. And he was supposed to preach to the biggest dogs on the planet at that time. And he was on his way, but he didn't go straight there, did he? Now he incurred a storm. Listen, I know that everyone in here, you're walking out that path. For those that know Jesus Christ, listen, the path that God has you on is amazing. If you don't think your life is amazing living here in America, come with us on the next mission trip. Please. Please. Sell what you have to. Children, whatever it is, to get money to go. Not children. But if you think that this is the toughest thing in the world to live, a toughest place, you need to come. And you need to see how blessed we are living here in America and how much we have. God's got a plan. Listen, you're in the middle of some of you is in the beginning of your journey, some are towards the end, and some are right dead smack in the middle. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how many days you have. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. You don't know how many days you have. Amen? So you're on your journey, and I know it's a beautiful journey that God has for you. It's something spectacular. It really is. But can I tell you, when Paul went and he preached in Rome, it was spectacular. Spectacular. But there was a storm that he had to go through before he got there. And we all know that story. And as Paul was going through that storm, they couldn't get out of the storm. I want you to know, you're not getting out of this storm. You're not getting out of it until you change. See, because the reality is there's a storm that's going to be going on somewhere in the world every day of the week for the rest of our lives. Amen? So what happens is we're going to have to find that peace in the midst of the storm. And isn't it amazing? They didn't eat. They threw the tackle overboard. Everything was thrown out. Nothing but the boat left. That's all they had. Paul said, get rid of it. All the natural things that they used to put their trust in, they threw overboard. The only thing they had left was the ship. And then they said, hey, we're about out of food. And they sounded and sounded and sounded, getting closer and closer to shore. He said, all right. He said, well, boys, there's no way out of this. We're not getting rescued. God didn't take the ship and say, okay, let's just bring it to Rome. Because God had a bigger plan. I want you to know that in the midst of a storm, God has a beautiful plan. He's the one that stands outside the storm and he looks at every heart that's represented here. Whatever your issue is, he wants to heal it. Why? Because in the midst of the storm, he wants to change an entire island. And that storm, that boat, just before they were getting ready to disembark, what did Paul say? Hey, we're going to break bread. Who did he bring together? He brought the prisoners. He brought the military. He brought the crew on the ship. Said, come on, boys. And he didn't say, here, let's have a cracker. He said, let's feast. I'd rather feast when we do communion too, wouldn't you? We should be able to like rip off hunks of bread and just, you know, everybody gets a glass of juice and a half a loaf of bread. And when we do communion, we just wait till everybody's done before we go any further. But what does Paul do in the midst of the storm is he looks back to the Lord and he says, okay, boys, come here. I want to show you something. We're going to sit here. We're going to give God glory in the midst of the storm and we're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the ship, but we're going to give God glory. He said, because not one life will be lost if you do what I tell you to do. Oh, for the Pauls and the Peters to stand up and say, hey, come here, guys. Not one life will be lost if you follow me. Are you kidding me? I still got a minute 40. I think Pete sent him up here early and early every week. He said all hope of being saved was at last abandoned. All hope of God steering that ship into the port and putting him on a nice sandy beach or bringing him to Rome and bypass the storm. He said, no, it's not going to happen, boys. He said, we're going to have to put this ship into the rocks. First thing we're going to do, we're going to cry out to the Lord. Second thing, the Lord said, not one of you will be lost. Not one will be lost in the midst of this storm. See, that's our cry. That everyone that's represented here, not you and not one of your families, be lost in this storm. For generations, they won't be lost in this storm. You see, this storm isn't about today. This storm is about forever, as long as we're on the face of this planet. This storm that's coming, it's about us getting our footing, taking communion, reminding ourselves of who he is, gathering all of those. Look at Paul, didn't know all them prisoners and where they came from. He didn't know all the guys that were running the ship, and he didn't know all the military guys that were on there, but he brought them all together. And guess what? In the midst of a storm, somebody's looking for somebody that's got enough grace in their life to say, come, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what America is looking for, and the rest of the world. So we see in the scriptures that ship went in there and got stuck in the rocks and they couldn't make it to shore. That was the thing that was carrying them. And it got obliterated. Maybe the vehicle. Maybe it's time the church got wrecked a little bit. Maybe we haven't been getting the job done that God wanted to get done. Maybe it's time he shook things up. Thank God that over the last 3 months, God's been shaking things up. Amen? Maybe the vehicle that we've been in, maybe that comfort zone we've been in, it's time to take communion and let it come apart and then figure out what God wants to do next. Because what we were doing didn't get the whole world saved. So something's got to change. Something has to give. And if it's got to break apart so God can rebuild it in his image rather than man's thoughts, then let's find out what God wants to do. And not try to tie ropes under it and hold it together and say, no, we don't want to change. No, it's time for change for the church. It's time that we started changing the way that we live so that people around us start to change. Because they see a little bit more of him and his works in our lives. Amen? And as they all went ashore in the midst of a storm, he goes in there and the storm ain't over yet. They get around the fire. Paul gets bit by a poisonous snake. And all through fear and anxiety, as he sits there and starts to shake, no, it's not how it happened. He just flung it into the fire. Because of that, the villagers came. First, they said, he deserves to die. He survived the water. He survived the storm, but he deserves to die. Look what happened to him. Can we stop looking at what happens to everybody and start and blame and say they deserve it? I want you to know, if you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have to walk all the way. Because he shook it off in the fire, and then the villagers came and they said, hey, the chief is sick. He goes from a convicted felon that should die to a deliverer and a healer of an entire village in the midst of a storm when the vehicle was shattered. I want you to know, there's some fun things that God wants to do through each one of our lives right now. There's some fun things that he wants to do. Would you stop looking at the news and start looking at what the Spirit of God is speaking? Stop looking at what man is saying. Man never says good things when he's trying to make a dollar bill. God's word says the same thing all the time. I'm with you. I'm for you. I love you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you don't know what the Father is, if you don't know if he loves you, get back in the Word of God. If you're walking around beat down and battered and feeling like a failure, get back in the Word of God. And come on up for prayer too, because we'll pray and cast that thing out of you, that lying spirit. If you don't think you have any value, get back in the Word of God. Because he's madly in love with you and so are we. And if you feel like you're a failure, get back in the Word of God. Because there's men and women that failed bigger than you have. And God used them mightily. Amen? I believe God wants to use each and every person in here in the midst of the storm. And I believe there's people, houses, and communities ready to be delivered if someone would walk in the works of God because they believe what Jesus Christ has done. Amen? Stand up this morning. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Jesus wasn't even done. He said, it's finished. And then he walked around for another 40 days on the earth, encouraging the disciples. And then he said, okay, I'm still not done. I have to go to the Father so I can send the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the power of God being manifested in each one of us. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a good time for it. If you feel like you're powerless, it's because we got to go back to the Word of God. Because the all-powerful one lives on the inside of us. If you feel like you're just walking aimlessly through life and nothing is really going to change, we need to go back to the Word of God and remind yourself of the power of the Holy Ghost that not only heals the sick but raises the dead. And when the Word of God is preached through the Spirit of God, through Peter, 3,000 added to the church, God's got a plan and a purpose. I believe there's some Peters and Pauls in here. I have to believe there's a bunch of Sapphiras in here. I believe they're all here. Everything we need to change these counties. Maybe you're saying, I need it just a little bit more. No, you don't. Because Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. Therefore, you have all you have need of. You just got to agree with what he said rather than how you feel. You're free indeed this morning. Because of the Christ on the inside of you. You're free. You're free. You're free. You have a pastor you don't understand. Nope, I don't know anything. But Christ and him crucified. Therefore, I have all things pertaining to life and godliness. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you've been struggling with, he's able. And this ship's been broken. Stuck in the rocks, it's coming apart. Good. Let's let loose of some of them things. Let's let them loose. Some things you've been hanging on to didn't work. Let them go. Let them go. Let's do it different. Let's do it different. No more Wednesday nights.
Oh my gosh.
We've been doing it for 21 years. It's not a big deal to you. You guys are like, woo! But I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I like this kind of change. We've been doing this for 21 years. That's the way you're supposed to do it, isn't it? That's the only way it can be done, isn't it? I don't know what your thoughts are, but I know what his thoughts are towards you. And that he loves you. And he's got a plan and a purpose. So let's believe him. Let's believe him. And not your circumstances, situations. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. For you said if we believe, we're going to do the same thing. If any snake tries to grab, we just shake it off. Storms come, we know you're going to make a way. Thrown in a lion's den, you're going to make sure they're full before we get there. A fiery furnace, you're going to stand in the midst of it with us. Father, we watch time and time again when men and women stood in faith on the word of God, and we watch them change entire nations. Father, today, we speak to the strong man in this area and say, get out in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the authority in your word. I said, wherever we go, we're to be those men and women of peace. Father, as we walk in your peace, let us find those people of peace that are prepared to receive your word. We agree that none come unless you draw them. Father, we thank you for drawing them one after another. And we thank you, Father, for opening up our hearts to be able to see them and our eyes so we could see them as they come. And then we would just simply share the love of God with them. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, we speak healing and health into every single person, into every relationship. Father, we thank you for the freedom that each one of us find in you. Today, Lord, as we walk out of these doors, we agree that as we know you, we agree, Lord, that when we know you, we know, or when we know the Son, we know the Father. And as we walk in that power and that authority, Father, greater works are coming. Greater works for every life in here. That as each one steps up and proclaims the name of Jesus Christ or the Word of God, as each one steps up, Father, we thank you that there's fruit coming into the kingdom of God. Lord, each one that lays a hand on someone to pray, Father, there's an impartation of the very Spirit of God that heals hearts and brings unity. We thank you for the unity in the body of Christ. Lord, not just in our church, but the other churches in the area. Thank you for opening up hearts so that we can come together and watch you heal a land that's been broken. Father, we're so thankful that these things do come because it reminds us of how quickly our lives are over and how much you have called us to do. Let our hearts be soft and tender as we walk out this door. Let us look on each one as a friend, as a brother, and those that are lost as just lost sons and daughters of ours, our very own, that we would pray and cry out for. Father, we repent. Heal our land. We're turning from the way that we were walking, oh God. We're turning away, and we're walking according to your word. We're walking in the Spirit, and our words will bring life. They won't bring death. They won't bring division. They won't bring gossip. They won't bring lies. They'll bring life and life more abundantly. Thank you for making us a lighthouse where your light shines in the darkness. Thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, God bless you. And thank God for unity in the storm. And no matter what the storm looks like, you've got a village to set free. Let's go set them free.